Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy.
Are we ready?
Can we do a boomy before we start?
Okay.
Oh, it's cute. We look like super like exclusive. Like we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Like we know what we're doing. I think we know what we're doing.
You know what you're doing. I'm just here.
Fun fact, you guys. She was my first.
Recording?
Yeah. You were my first intern. An intern that wasn't even an intern.
This is the best internship I've ever had in my life. I've just received.
I'm actually looking for an intern. But like a real one this time.
I was a producer.
Or a producer. I don't know. I probably you were. No, but you responded to my intern ad. And eventually like you're my producer. And then you just stopped showing up.
I do work for free. I still come here.
Yeah, no, you do. Now you're just a part of the show.
Hey, you gotta have a rite of passage. The rite of passage is the internship.
Yeah, but I'm looking for a new intern.
So slide in her DMs or her mailbox.
And that's what's up.
Because I got an amazing friendship out of it.
Yeah, I mean, don't expect an amazing friendship. I mean, maybe, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I actually want someone who's going to work and not just here to kiki and not focus and like try to do better. You know what I mean? Like I want someone who's motivated.
Stephanie, what are you trying to say? I work very hard.
No, you do. You work great. But like,
welcome to BGT, guys.
No, but back then, we would record, but we would just get drunk as fuck.
Hell
so it was just sloppy.
Yo, so, was so much fun.
So it was just like, I'm not trying to do that.
It was like, Jessica, would you like to come over and record? And I that translated as, do you want to get drunk? Absolutely. My answer was always yes.
Yes. That's all you do.
I'm like, Jessica, do you want to record today? What are we drinking?
But I loved it because I felt like you were like the best audience member.
Oh, if you need a hype man, hire me.
For sure.
You would not be disappointed.
I loved it. Well, anyways. Hi, guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. And guess the fuck what? Jessica motherfucking Clark is motherfucking back.
I'm back. Thank you for having me back on.
Yeah, I mean, you're not, you've only been one episode this season, which I'm upset about.
I know. I've been in school and work, have a new job, so been kind of busy, but you've been, my fellow co-hosts, guest co-hosts have been holding down the fort.
Rose,
Jaffra, shout out to y'all.
I know, but it's okay. I mean, we did actually that one day when you did the Manifest a Man episode.
We did.
We did two episodes and that second one just never, I don't know what the fuck happened.
And we kind of both have guys.
Well, kind of.
Mine's a bit fleeting, but it's okay.
Fleeting?
You know. Take that out.
It's still the beginning stages. It's very uncertain at the moment.
Thank you.
There you go. But there's a possibility.
You can tell you do PR.
Yeah.
You just saved my
comment. Honestly, I media train people. Like, I've literally just been like, okay, this is how you segue the conversation.
Right.
And I only know this because... this is what
That's
I do.
That's what you do.
Yeah. But anyway, we are doing a Q&A. This is your first Q&A. How does it feel? No, it's not. This is the second one.
We did like a quarantine one, but that was like, yeah. This is the real
this
deal.
This is official shit.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I have to put my British accent on now for you guys, you know, and so on.
Yeah, background story. Where are you, the fuck are you from?
Girl.
Sorry, that's hella rude to say.
where am I not from? That's the question.
Because that's the thing. Is like Jess has like a, you are from everywhere.
Yeah, I don't. So I was born in England, but I'm third generation Jamaican. So I'm black because I'm Jamaican.
Okay, okay.
And people get so crazy, especially when I say it to white people. They're like, can you say that? I'm like, honey, it's the truth.
Right.
But no, I'm Jamaican, British, a British Jamaican. And I lived in Africa in Ghana for 10 years. So I was raised in Ghana. So I claim Ghana all day.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry. Never mind. I'm not going to ask.
What?
Like, I'm sorry, are you African? But no, you're Jamaican.
I'm Jamaican, but I claim Africa as okay, well. Okay, I claim okay. Ghana. I would say I'm Ghanaian if I'm wrong. Yeah. Right. A lot of people think I'm Ghanaian or Nigerian just because of... So I have like multiple different accents. Maybe I'm...
You do. You always bust out different accents, especially when you're drunk. Not anymore. You don't drink anymore, but...
Yeah, I can... But it's good because... When I'm around British people, I can always like have my British accent and they're like, oh my gosh, you're from ENDS.
Yeah.
Then when I'm around Ghanaians, I'm like, hey, you have my sister. And I'm like,
but your parents have an English accent.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? But because they're hella bougie, but that's the topic.
Your parents are perfect together.
They are.
Like
they
I always say, like, they've that's a black
for
love.
Like 35 years.
For real.
It's a long time to do one guy.
35 years?
Person. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
I know. It's a long time.
Well, shout out to them, though.
Shout out to my parents.
Shout out.
Whatever.
All right. Should we get into the questions?
Let's do it. I'm so excited.
We got a bunch.
To tell y'all about yourselves. Because y'all up in these streets acting a goddamn fool.
And you, but honestly, you are someone that's going to tell you about yourself. Because the intervention episode, you fucking gave it to me.
I sure did. Because guess what? That's what friends do. If you, your friends ain't telling you the truth, then what are we doing? Why are we here?
Exactly, but I love that episode. It's a classic. Classic. It's fun. But let's get into the questions. Okay. All right.
Brocal Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy and that was the best decision I've ever made because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions, and she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that, like, I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BrokeGirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's Better, HELP.com/BrokeGirl.
Question number one. This guy I'm dating said I love you immediately after we kiss for the first time.
Lies. Help! Lies.
You think it's a lie?
Lies.
What if it's a cancer?
I'm a cancer. Lies.
Do you really think it's a lie?
I think
why?
I think infatuation can very much imitate love.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lie. I don't think that they're meaning to outwardly lie. I think maybe they just don't know what love is. I don't know.
So it's a lie.
But it's not like he's like trying to lie and manipulate.
But it's not like after we had a long intimate talk, then after right. that he said, I love you, or we had a really deep conversation. But it's after you kiss. So after you kiss, what are you? You're sexually stimulated in some mm-hmm. kind of way.
Mm-hmm. And you're horny.
So you're horny. And so maybe he just hadn't got no puss in like a long time. And then he was just like, dang, I forgot what this feels like. I love you.
Right. I think it's, I don't know how old you are who asks, that's also plays a part too. I think maybe if you're like young love, like teenage, I feel like I envision that. I don't think any grown ass man would say that.
Run fast.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you like it? No. Maybe they were friends for a while and then they started like being intimate and then that's it.
She didn't say all that.
She didn't say all that. Yeah, you just said, okay, I don't know. I mean, run, I guess.
But yeah, my answer would be I would ask him, what does he mean by that?
Yeah. That's a conversation starter.
Yeah, I want him to, I'm like, please expand upon what you mean by, like, I just met you. What's going on?
I mean, has that ever happened to you?
No.
But don't you fall pretty fast? What if that's just like a case like that?
I used to, then I turned 28. Things are different now.
So back in the day when you would just fall really quickly for someone, why was that? What do you think that like stemmed from?
Two things. It was just obsession. I guess just trying to fill something within me. I think this is gonna sound so cliche, but I didn't love myself enough.
It's true. 100%. So, it's not even cliche. It's fucking fact.
Yeah, I didn't love myself enough. And so I was searching for the love that I could only give myself and other people. And so you crave that. And so when you feel something that you think it's supposed to feel like, that's when you say, yo, I love you. Stay around. I need you. I crave you.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. That is might be like a bit of an obsession.
Yes.
Because we've all been there.
It's crazy. Yeah. We're crazy.
Yeah, we are. It's fine. We've all been there. Okay, so next one. I like this one. Tips on building your confidence as a woman of color in a white world.
Listen. You go first.
I mean, I'm still kind of like trying to figure out the answer to this one. Because I'm someone who grew up in Valencia, Santa Clarita. Shout out. What's up, 661?
and it's 661. Girl. I've never in my life someone shout
the
out
valley, the suburbs.
Who shouts 661? No one does that. You shout out the hood because that's where the struggle is. And we want to just come together. No one shouts out the subs. But okay, we can roll with it.
But yeah, I mean, my point exactly, you know, is that it's very, it's white culture. So I think it really like for a long time was something that I didn't realize I was struggling with because I always wanted to come off as like, you know, not a fob, which is like a fresh off the boat Asian. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be a cool Asian. I wanted to be seen with the white people. That way I was accepted by them, you know? And so that took me a while to understand. But once I think that I started to realize and educate myself on why I felt that way,
yeah,
I think it started to give me like the confidence to be like, no, I'm fine with who I am.
Right.
You know,
I would say do your research on confident black, or I should say not only black, but any women of color. Mm. I think learning about history is important. And being able to do some research on how women of color who are successful navigated the white world. And that way, that helps me because it's like, damn, black people are dope, or whoever you're from, they're dope, you know, and there's pride to be, I feel very proud to be black, to be honest. I wouldn't want to be any other color, no shade to any other color, but that's who I am, and that's because I know we have such a rich history, and that's going to wherever you are from. I think your confidence is built through knowing who you are.
Yeah, like educating your roots.
Yes, educating.
Yeah, and I think also surrounding yourself with
confident women,
and people who look like you. You know what I mean? Like I think for me, like I do find a thrill of being around other women who are women of color. Like I'm kind of like, oh, you're dope, like I could be dope too. Yes. You know, just like finding and surrounding yourself with those people is like what brings you up.
Iron sharpens iron all the time.
You what?
Iron sharpens iron.
What's
iron?
Like iron.
Iron.
sorry.
We're having a language barrier.
The culture. I'm like iron.
Iron. How y'all say it? Iron.
Iron. Oh wait, iron.
You
no.
don't
no,
say. Girl,
iron.
Anyway,
iron. Sorry, iron.
Iron. hydrates. Yo.
Yeah, yeah. Iron catches iron.
Iron sharpens.
Iron. Okay. I'm fucking it up and I feel like I'm being a dick because I'm just, you know.
Yo, what's the next question?
I'm not PC right now.
Talking about confidence and history. We're over here can't even say a goddamn word, iron.
Girl, I'm tired. Oh, my God. Okay. Any dating tips for a beginner? By the way, I love your podcast.
Shout out to BGT.
Yes.
Also, I'm wearing BGT merch. Yes. All day, baby.
Yes, go cop yes, your yes. merch. Brooklytherapy.com. Go get that merch. Okay. This is actually a good question.
Is it?
It's a great question.
So read the question again one more time.
Any dating tips for a beginner? By the way, I love your podcast. Sorry, I had to put that in there. I have to let y'all know again.
That was the whole question. So I don't know what else you want her to do about it.
No, okay. So the first thing I think with dating that I made a mistake on was not caring about a personality type. Like, I feel like I was very superficial.
Yeah.
And so going on dating apps, like I've been on Tinder, I've been on, you know, all these really superficial dating apps, and I think I focused on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you focus on the right things, like a personality, mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, once you kind of know your personality type, you know what fits for other personality types.
Absolutely. No, that's so true.
It's so true,
it's
though.
It's so true. It's
and so
true.
I actually got in touch with this dating app, Boo Dating.
Yes.
Yes, Boo Dating. Shouts out. They're actually a sponsor for this show, but I love them. I wanted to have this conversation because yes. I feel like, you know, I've been on every app, let's be real.
Same.
Soul Swipe.
Same. Girl, whoever made this thing, thank God for Boo, because Soul Swipe, before it got real ratchet, it was such a good app.
It was a good app. Because it kind of got you, like, there was a lot of common people in one app, you know? And I think with Boo Dating, it's like, I kind of look at Boo Dating as like a psychological way of dating.
Yes.
So I think if I had this app way back then, I probably would have avoided so many situations.
But then we wouldn't have BGT, so.
That's true. But, I mean, I would have just had more other problems. Just kidding, no. It would have limited certain situations. Yeah. Because I think that, like, I could look at a profile on these other apps and think, like, oh, this dude dresses like this and he looks really cool and he's into music, so I think he'd be this type of person. You know, like, I feel like you kind of, like, you envision, you know, what this man's going to be like. But if you have, like, their personality tests right in front of you,
you
get an idea.
And it tells you what kind of personality types you match well with, mm-hmm. which is amazing, because that way you can look for, and it kind of defines what each trait, what each personality embodies. And I think that's beautiful that you can kind of get that. It's kind of like how people like kind of ask people like, hey, what's your sign? It's kind of like the
exactly.
same thing.
Like, I mean, for me, I'm like, fuck Geminis. Why? Because they're like this and that, you know? Right. So it's kind of like this where I'm like, okay, so you download the app and then you take this quiz, which doesn't even take that long.
They have two. There was one that's a short one that's, I think, 5 questions. And they have another one that's 30
A more in-depth one.
Which
yes.
I took because I like to know what y'all
think. We want to get this
accurate.
I want
to know what you think is in my mind.
Yes.
And they were absolutely right.
Yeah. And I ended up being a personality type that's called, I'm looking it up right now because I, hold on. I want to make sure that this is correct. I am the ENFP personality type, which is more like the charismatic, the more like bolder personality and more extroverted, I guess you can say. Yeah. And then so that will be on my profile and it will match me up to guys who were certain personality types that would fit ours.
Yes,
exactly. Aren't you? Didn't you get the same thing?
I got the same thing. Go figure.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Yeah. And it says that we're more prone to being matched well with INTJ, which is more of like a introverted personality type. And which is so true because I think even in a lot of my friendships, I think you see some of them here, but there's a lot... I have other friendships that are more, and these people are more like introverted. And I feel like I'm the type of person, even as a friend, will like pick who my friend is and like make that move.
Yeah.
Versus like an introvert who kind of just chill and people come to them.
I think it was INFP, which is known as the peacemaker. INFJ is the guardian, and INTJ is a mastermind. So those are the three we're both that they recommend our personalities would go well with.
Yes.
Which is cool.
I know. It's honestly like, I feel like if I knew that, I would have avoided so much shit, because I feel like in the beginning, you're kind of like, well, I think I like, you know, musicians.
Yeah. And it's like run.
But it's like, okay, but is this musician an introvert? What's his personality type? What's his morality?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how does he work? Like, I think those are things that are important. So when you're out dating for the first time, or maybe going back out to date again, like, those are the things that you're supposed to be paying attention to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So if you want to go download the app,
go download Boo. It's available to you today.
So yeah, you could go on the website boo.dating for the link, and then you could use my code BROKEGIRL and get to it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Next question.
Okay.
I'm really happy about that sponsorship, honestly. That's why for that one, I was like, I actually want to have a conversation about that, because I think that's what we need.
And you manifested that sponsorship too, so.
Did I manifest it?
She says so many things. She said so many things last year that she doesn't remember. And I specifically remember her saying that she wants everything that's happening this year. And so isn't that interesting how like friends can also be a memory capsule for you to remind you of. And that's why it's important to have good people on your side, because they can remind you of where you came from. And where you're at now, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I love you. You've been with me since the dungeon.
Why is your skin so soft?
I moisturize like every day, or every day, all day, 50 times a day. I'm not even kidding.
It shows.
Okay, great. All right, next question. Let's get a little sexy.
Okay.
Let's take it there. What are your thoughts on lingerie?
Oh, I love.
Do you have lingerie?
I do.
Oh.
I keep a lounge around, honey.
Do you really?
I do.
Do you just like use it for yourself, or do you like, you know, use it when you...
No, I keep it, girl. I don't take it out often.
Correction. It's just in the drawers.
It's being kept. It's not being used right now.
When was the last time you used lingerie?
Last time I used lingerie was when I went... I got flued out to my boyfriend in Ghana. My ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I pulled out some lingerie for him.
How do they look like?
It was like, first of all, it was from Forever 21.
Oh, my God. No, I have lingerie for Forever 21, too. Listen, not that we should be sponsoring or whatever.
It's not sponsoring, it's just the truth. I'm just saying.
They have cute ones, though.
They have cute, affordable.
Affordable.
Lingerie. So it was like a one piece with like a little, it had like a little peak hole in the middle, and it was is beige. And I think it had like an open back as well.
It was beige.
Yeah, it was giving you a little beige accent. But you know, sometimes, listen, this is about to be TMI. I hope nobody from the church listening, but I'm grown. So, hey. Because you know, sometimes your boobies, when you're kind of more bust in the front.
Yes.
You know, they be kind of, I wish that some of the lingerie had a bit more support for the sexy ones.
What, so your titties like spill out?
Yeah, girl.
I kind of like the spilling out, I ain't gonna lie.
They be everywhere. They be dropping, flopping,
I kind of like when it spills out, nah?
Sometimes I just, because you know when you're making an entrance, you just want a little lift
right,
little tug and a little, that's true. You know.
Maybe like Fenty probably would have a better.
Fenty, come sponsor BGT.
That would be amazing.
That would be that's Fenty, girl. Girl.
Maybe one day. I don't know. But then I would have to pose a lingerie, and I feel kind of weird about that.
They have not, they also have like sweats and stuff like that, so.
Cover it up.
They have a onesie. They do. It's
actually,
super cute.
Fun fact, because I have some lingerie too that I would wear, you know, with men. I mean, not that I've even like done that a lot.
Right, and that's what I would say. I think lingerie is good for a special guy.
Exactly. And there's been times where I'm like, oh, I would plan to. Like, I definitely planned to wear lingerie when I was going to go to Alabama. Moment of silence.
Rest in peace.
So, but clearly that was not needed.
The Bama.
But I just, you know, I do have some. And actually,
Did you? What'd you do? What'd you do?
So, earlier this week.
This week? Girl, that was recent.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. A few days ago.
Get into it.
Yeah. I was actually recording with Rose, and I was really feeling my hair that day. And I was really feeling myself afterwards that I went home. I put on the lingerie.
For yourself?
For Chris. And I took photos. And I gave him some photos. And actually, one of the photos that was, like, tasteful made it on my Instagram. Like, that selfie, that black and white selfie.
Yes.
That I just posted was, like, the night. But I obviously was, like, you know.
And let me just say, just another perspective on lingerie. Some girls I know, and it, for me as well, don't always feel comfortable or sexy in lingerie. Mm-hmm. And that's when I would say to them, even if you haven't got that sexy, even if you haven't got that special someone, I would buy lingerie for myself and just, you know, wear it and just look at yourself in it. Mm-hmm. And don't point out your imperfections, but point out the things you like about yourself, the way you look in it. And yeah, just get comfortable, celebrate yourself in it. Because, honey, if you ain't... I think lingerie, yes, is for the other person, but it should be for you.
It should be for you.
It should make you feel confident, right. Make you feel sexy. And there's so many different kinds of lingeries that don't always, like, that are for either bigger girls or, you know.
There's, yeah, especially Fenty. Again, not sponsoring, just a fan.
Yet.
Like, they have, what I love about it is that she has, like, a wide range. If you are, like a more thicker woman, a full-bodied woman, like, there's a certain type that could fit that, you know?
Yeah, so. But wear lingerie for yourself and don't wear it for a man. Wear it for yourself first, and the man just gets to the overflow.
Yeah, right. The overflow.
Period.
It's for you first, boo.
Yes.
Okay, next question. This man told me he doesn't want to date me and that nothing is wrong with me. But I feel insecure. How do I get out of this funk? I know I'm a beautiful person inside and out.
F that man.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know Claritin is literally the most on-brand sponsorship that I could get. There's been so many times that people have commented on an episode and been like, girl, blow your nose a little bit. Like, you sound real stuffy. Are you good? And all I needed was a Claritin to help treat my allergies. Especially right now when it's springtime, the flowers are blooming, pollen is in the air. Best believe I have my Claritin in my pocket. And I love her. I love my Claritin D because she helps me survive through this allergy season. And honestly, just helps me survive in general because y'all know I just have allergies all the time. So if you guys are suffering with allergies, I would honestly suggest, coming from the allergy queen myself, to go and get yourself some Claritin D. Don't make yourself suffer, especially during allergy season. So go get yours, boo. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
This is literally F that man. This is like, I think
it would be more effective if I actually said the F word. Can you say it for me?
Fuck that motherfucker. But in to be honest, that's kind of like sadly the dating game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like, you'll date a bunch of people and sometimes someone just, even though they're such a great person, just aren't the right one for you.
And it's you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's all right.
Right. And that's what we've had to learn up for a long.
You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And that's why the most important thing is knowing who you are, because once you're solid in who you are and you know who you are, regardless of whether like a man comes along and saying, yeah, you're just not my type, or I just don't want to be with you. You have to, if you're solid in who you are, regardless, it doesn't matter what he thinks. Bye-bye, birdie. Mm-hmm. You know?
It does hurt the ego thing. I think I think it's less heartbreak and just more of an ego thing. Yeah. Like, there's been plenty of times where a guy didn't really choose me, but at the end of the day, I was like, wait, I didn't really like them. You know, like, or it was just, I don't know, like, it just, I feel like it just fucking shatters your ego. Yeah,
for sure. For me to sit here and be like, just love yourself, it'll be okay, is total BS. But I think it's true, because your ego is going to be definitely affected. And even if you are the most confident person in the world, you're still human at the end of the day. So you're still going to be like, yo, what? I'm dope. Like, what do you mean you don't like me? Like,
right.
But that still even shows that there's still more self-work to be done, you know? Mm. But that's the part. That's chalk it up to the game, baby girl. Sorry.
Yeah, for real. And I mean, honestly, like, I always tell myself this too. Like, when I've gone through moments like that, I'm like, yo, I'm not going to care in a year.
Yeah.
I just care right now. Exactly. Probably for a few weeks or for a month or two. But like, in a year from now, like, I'm not going to give a shit. Yeah. So just because he didn't like me for who I am, like, that's on him.
And something I heard.
You'll meet someone again soon.
Something I heard recently that really was like kind of groundbreaking for me is just that, like, if you look around, just be like, if someone says something like that to you, you can be like, do I still have my house? Do I still have my car? Do I still have my job? Has anything really changed?
Right.
And if nothing has changed, then baby girl, you know, nothing has changed. It's okay.
Well, actually, the day that Bobby broke up with me was the same week I got fired from my job. So, but I'm fine. I've succeeded out of it. You know what I mean? Like,
that was just bad luck.
Mercury was in retrograde that week, I remember.
That's the universe. I don't have advice for that. Sorry. I ain't got nothing to do with the planets. I'm not in communication with them right now.
But I got over it. Like, you know, in conclusion,
better.
I'm okay. So it's fine.
Surprise. We made it.
For real.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. This one's directly towards you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Y'all know me.
They said, as a Christian woman, how do you navigate the dating world with men mainly wanting sex?
Ooh, child. Girl, I don't know. You tell me at this point. No, I'm just kidding. One, I have to let them know up front that I'm not about to have sex with you. Right. And honestly, that is very scary, because most men will be up front and be like, yeah, well, that's a deal breaker for me.
Right.
And you just have to that kind of.
And usually guys like that are actual fucking fuckheads anyway.
Yeah.
Who literally just wants. I mean, there's nothing. Okay, if you just want sex, that's fine. But like, if they're going to like date you and no.
Yeah. No. And you know.
I feel like as you get older, like, it's just kind of like, you want to fuck and fuck. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know, like, there shouldn't be any fucking.
It's not that. Yeah, it's just not that deep, you know. What was the read the question one more time?
How do you navigate the dating world with men mainly wanting sex?
So one, I present who I am up front. I know for some women, it's kind of, you don't want to reveal too much too fast, because men kind of feel that, you know, you're putting on too much on too fast. But I always say, hey, I'm a Christian. These are my boundaries. Can you respect them? And if you can respect them, these are basic boundaries. I don't want to have sex.
Right.
I'm a Christian, blase, blase. And if you meet someone that's like-minded, hopefully it's ideal that they would want to, they're on the same page as
you. Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, at this point in your life, you're mainly just looking for other dudes who are Christian. You're not going to be fucking around with, like, an atheist.
Right.
You know? Like, you know what I mean?
But
like,
girl, don't be fooled. A lot of these Christian men still get it in. And
that's true. That's true.
Like, don't get me started on that.
That's true. That's true.
But also, it's just, like, being patient, because not every man that's not every match, to be honest, you're dating within a smaller pool than just the average girl.
Right.
And so it's just an aspect of being patient. And then one thing I've been doing is I pray over the person that I'm with. Like, and I be letting God know, Lord, if this is not the man for me, please just take him away. And I pray that God just helps me to navigate relationships. And I pray that God reveals who this man truly is to me before I catch these feelings. And God cares about the things that we care about. So he be putting me on game low key. So
yeah,
that's that nigga. For real.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. I was like, I don't pray, but I manifest.
Girl, I think it's interchangeable, really.
Yeah, I think, I meditate.
I'm just like, you made him. Tell me about them.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, aw, well, that was a good answer.
Well, thank you.
Okay, hope next helped. One. One, I love you and your content. Thank you. Two, have you ever fake moan during sex? Have you? I thought about this. I'm like, I definitely would like put on a show a little bit.
Yeah,
I feel in my younger years. Yeah, exaggerated.
But I'm too old to be faking anything.
Right. Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Oh yeah, I used to do it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Because I just wanted it to end.
I've never faked an orgasm.
Good for you. My acting is on point, though. I mean, you should get an Oscar for the things I pull, for real.
But then, like, but afterwards, like, you guys don't, like, talk about, like, oh, how was that come? Like, how was that?
I'm like, it was great. Thanks.
Oh, shit.
This is why, this is, okay, let me just tell you. This is also, one, yes, I'm Christian, so I'm trying not to have sex, even though we all fall short of glory to God.
We've all, glory to God.
For real. But one of the reasons why I kind of slowed down on having sex, because I was realizing, and I think I've said it before, I was having sex more for the other person than for me. And so that's why I just felt obligated to please that person. And
do you think that happened more in your early 20s?
Oh, absolutely. It definitely happened more in my early 20s, because now I just don't have time for it. I just don't. I'd rather just not have it. And I'm so happy being single. So at this point,
I feel like you're thriving right now.
Honey, I'm trying. I'm blessed. I can't. Yeah. Because you know what? Now I'm starting to see life like this. I'm already full. Anything a man brings to me can only overflow my cup. You can't take anything away from my cup because it's already full. Right. And so I don't need to fake my orgasm anymore because I'm not having sex with you in the first place because I just don't want to. And so, yeah, I used to fake orgasms just because I wanted to satisfy the person, but I also generally just wanted it to be over. Being so sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've never faked an orgasm. And I think back and I think, like, my early 20s, when I have sex with guys, they didn't even really care if I had an orgasm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were trying to get their nut off. Like.
Right. So, like, when they were done, it was just like, okay, like, that was it. You know? Like, I felt like it wasn't until, like, my mid to late 20s did guys start really asking, like, oh, like, did you get that orgasm? Like, before, it was just, like, they were just trying to fuck me.
And I think they had just focused on more of their performance.
Right.
And the way they look. And it's not, I feel like even when guys ask, did you have an orgasm, I think they're asking more for their ego than for your satisfaction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We see y'all.
Yes, but I feel like that's such a young, immature thing. I feel like men nowadays, though, like now that, like, I mean, I'm hitting 30 in a couple of months. So I'm basically 30. I feel like as we get older, I mean, I think, you know what it is? I don't know if it's just with age. I think it's because it's more of a discussion now than it was before.
You know?
Like, I feel like, you know, with Instagram and social media and all that stuff, like, people, you know, obviously podcasts, like, people are having these conversations. Like, absolutely. I think that when we were, like, younger, we didn't have social media the way that we have it now. Right. So,
and I think men are just more exposed to the way us women really feel.
Right.
And because of the exposure, they've kind of been, like, a light bulb.
They just been watching porn. You know what I mean?
Yo, but now a lot of answers be up in
and
there.
Also I think women now are so much more bold in saying, yes, like, look, like, you better make me come. Right. You know, like, right, this has to be a thing. Yeah. Like setting those boundaries. Absolutely. So I think, yeah, I think that's why, hopefully.
Period.
I don't know what these youngins are doing now, but
are we already there at that stage?
I don't know. We're so young. You're only 28.
This is also true. I'm 2 years from being 30 though.
Yeah, so it's fine. I'm like, I'm still 29, but I'm all acting like I'm fucking 35. Right. Like I already know better.
You're like only
I'm already over my 20s.
She said, you're only 28. She's 29. How Sway? Tell me how.
You ain't got the answer, Sway.
Lord of mercy.
Oh my God. Okay, next question. Actually, I really want to know your take on this because you were in something like this, but more intense.
Was I?
Can a long distance relationship work? Because you, bitch, you were just saying you were flown out to your ex in Africa. I'm in a long distance relationship with someone who's in Oakland. Same time zone.
Honey, I've been in a long distance relationship with someone that lived in Italy. And I got flued out there too. So moral of the story, always get flued out. And I've been in a long distance relationship with someone in Ghana. Flued out there. Can they work? You know what? They can work. If you have a good budget.
Yeah.
And you're a good community.
If he has money.
The main thing about long distance relationships, let me tell you the truth. They're not going to work if you don't have a short-term plan on, or even a long-term plan on how you're going to be together permanently. I think if I was able to have something to look forward to, like, okay, this is what we're working towards. You know, we're working on our careers so that in 2 years we can both live in this specific place, and this is what job I'm going to have, this is what he's going to have, and da da da. So if you have that to look forward to, then you're working on this, you're going through these trials of being in a long distance relationship, and you know that it's not going to last, it's not going to always be like this. So that would definitely help. Also, just communication is so important. When I was in a relationship with people overseas, we used to have like an 8-hour time difference. So when I was going to sleep, he was waking up and vice versa.
How did you guys communicate?
It was just sacrifice. Because I would, at midnight, I would just be up for, you know, an hour or two and talk to him. So it's also just sacrifice of time. Of just time.
Did any of you guys ever cheated?
No, we never cheated. Well, the guy, when I was in college in Italy, that was a hot mess. Okay.
Next episode.
Yeah. But my, but this most current one that I had about a year or two ago, I didn't cheat on him. But that's always because I was able to see him. But two, just the communication was always on point. We always texted. We always, you know, just tried our best to keep it spicy and nice. So.
Oh, my God. But so why did it work out?
Why didn't it?
Yeah.
Because he stopped communicating. He stopped he was working a lot. And again, it takes sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice certain aspects of your life, it's just not going to work. So there's just a lot more work that has to go into it than an actual relationship when you're in person. And if that other person is not willing to give as much as you are, I wouldn't do it. Unless, to be honest with you, unless you know you're about to marry that man or that
woman.
Did
he propose though?
Girl.
Yeah, I remember you came back from Africa with the ring.
It was more of a promise ring. I sold it.
You did?
I put a deposit on my house, on my apartment.
Oh, my God.
What else was I going to do with it? I realized the diamonds were cubic zirconia, though. I know. So isn't that
I don't even know diamond. I'm like,
No, that's not a real diamond. Oh, that's not? That's what you find like Claire's, girl.
What?
But the gold was real. It was 18 karat gold. Yeah, I know. I'm spilling some real tea up in here. But
so he just got you a fake ring, pretty much?
So he got me gold, a gold.
Claire's
He got ring. Me a gold band. It was an 18-carat gold band. But
the diamond was fake?
The diamonds in it was cubic zirconia. Girl, I got it. Do you know how much? Let me tell you how much I got it for that porn store.
What?
$100.
That's it?
Child. The ghetto. Anywho.
Wait, no, this is crazy.
Sure I did. $100.
Did you ever talk to him about that?
I did not. You know, he actually kind of stopped talking to me. Like,
I remember
our
that
relationship never really, like, ended.
That's the thing is, like, I remember when you were in that relationship, and all of a sudden it was just like you were not in a relationship. And I also feel like you bounced back pretty quickly.
Bounced back getting strong. So, yeah. But I can't even blame it all on him. I went to see him in Ghana, and then I came back, and then it kind of just went downhill from there. That's also when I was, like, in the end part of my, like, my life bottom. I was a heavy drinker as well back then. Mm-hmm. And so I think my alcoholism definitely played a role. And he was a very Christian man. Mm-hmm. And so I think my... just my toxic behavior kind of just broke my...
Scared him away.
Yeah, I think it was just like, yo, this girl is too much. She's just too... Her life is just too much.
Like, you were just getting way too fucking drunk and fucked up that...
I wasn't even... Even when I was with him, I wasn't... I would have a drink every now and again, but he wouldn't want me to drink. And I'm just like, first of all, I'm grown. You don't know what to do. So I think it was a thing of he couldn't control me. And I wasn't able to hear reason at that time. And so I think that was just like, I think he acknowledged in me that I wasn't ready for whatever. The sacrifice that he would have to make to be in this, I wasn't even ready to receive it. And so that I do have to acknowledge that about myself. So when I came back to the States, we kind of just stopped talking. And wow. So, yeah, we never really had closure. And I still wore the ring for a little bit. But then I was just like, he's not really talking to me, so he's not going to take it back. And
that not, was it.
And I'm nothing. Not keeping this ring. What am I keeping this ring for? You know, I don't want that energy around. So bye-bye, birdie.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. That's actually one of the questions we got was, what's your opinion on closure? Did we do an episode on this a while back?
Perhaps. Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Like, do closure. You think the fact, but just kind of continuing this conversation, because this is good. we're here. And I want to know more. But, like, because you guys never had that closure, do you think that, like, it was a good thing or it was not a great thing? Like, you still wish you had that?
I think it was a good thing because I think with sometimes... closure elongates things longer than they have to be. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of those things where it just had to be chopped off. It couldn't be because I did love him and he did love me. And I think, you know, with closure, you can sometimes talk yourself into the relationship again when you're just not supposed to be in it in the first place.
Right.
And so I think it depends. I do think it just depends on your personality type, but I just didn't need the closure. I just didn't. Yeah. So yeah.
How did you get over that breakup? That's also another question we got a bunch of the breakup ones. How do you get over a breakup?
So with my breakup, I realized I have to work on myself. It was a lot. So one, I went to rehab.
Right. I remember you were gone. I remember you, like, we were supposed to have plans and I didn't hear from you that day, and I was like, what's going on? I called and got straight to voicemail, and it was like that for days.
Yeah.
And I was confused. I hit up Walker.
No one knew. Like, I ghosted.
And I had nowhere to go. So I was like, I don't know who, like, to reach out to. Like, I could not get a hold of you.
Yeah.
And I reached out to Walker, who is a mutual friend that lives in Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, hey, have you heard anything? And he was like, no, I haven't. And then I was like, what's her dad's Facebook? Because if I didn't hear from you, I was going to reach out to your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you eventually got back to me and you're like, yeah, I was in rehab.
I was in rehab. So I had to get sober first.
Yeah.
And then obviously there was just a lot of self-work. The interesting thing about that is, I'm still learning who I am. The person that I was 2 years ago is not the same person that is in front of you today. And so the way I date is different. The way I'm understanding and I'm translating information is different. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot less quick to speak and defend myself. Mm-hmm. And so my breakup was like a bit different because before I was sober, my breakup method was, get real drunk.
Go just out.
Get real drunk. That was your first, that was the first day. Get drunk and cry, let it out. Second day, don't get on the app. Third day, go on a date. That was my process, and that was not
That was healthy. Me too.
Let's be real.
So that take either one. Take pre-Jessica and post-Jessica. So, but this time, it just gave me opportunity to work on myself. So
love that.
That's how I got over my breakup.
And I will say, I mean, I loved getting drunk with you. It was fun. But and me and Rose talked about how we almost got into a fight with the Virgil. But we won't get into that. But
I really tried to fight a grown man. Who do I? Listen, you couldn't tell me nothing.
You were confident. But I definitely love this like new version of you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Like, I feel like I just. Girl, she's been working hard for herself.
So. I see it.
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question. What are your opinions on threesomes? I love that I'm asking a Christian woman, like, are you down?
Listen, I'm a beast. Listen, as I said, I'm grown.
Right.
Period. This is my opinion on threesomes. And again, this is post-Jessica. A lot of my crazy experiences has happened in my early.
Have you ever had a threesome?
No, not really. No, I haven't technically had a threesome. But it was in my exploratory days, you know. But
so you've had a threesome.
I've walked in on one before.
Okay.
And so that was awkward. No, I didn't. Listen, I'm not about the exchange of fluid between two different people all up in me at once. No.
Especially in times of COVID.
What do you think about threesomes? I think you're more seasoned to talk about
this. Well, I think threesomes are cool. I obviously support it. And I'll be honest, like, there is moments where I was like, I really wanted to be like someone who'd be down for threesomes. But I don't think I would.
I'm too jealous. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not. I wouldn't say jealous. I'm very territorial.
Yeah.
I don't want you touching, smelling, licking my man. And then it's just like, and then what?
And then see him fuck you. Like, at one point I was like, maybe I could be down to have sex with two guys and just be like.
Like a train?
Yeah. But then I realized.
But then I realized.
I don't know if I'd be into that. I feel like I would feel a little bit violated.
Yeah, just men just because I thought maybe
I don't know, because I feel like if it's another woman, like as much as I would be down to, I mean, I feel like I'd hook up with a girl before I have a threesome with, you know, like I don't know, like I just feel like I would also feel like, especially for like the man's attention, like I would low key kind of feel a little competitive.
Yeah. You know, I'm still working on myself. So I don't know if I'm at the point where I'm still competitive. So I'm still going to be like, what? I'm going to, every small intricacy, every small moment, every second that he spends more with the other person.
Right.
I know I'm going to be counting that second. And best believe, after that girl leaves, we're going to be having an argument. It's going to end. The night is going to end in us fighting because of that 1 second. It's not worth it.
I don't think I'm confident enough in my body to be like, what if she's hotter than me?
What if she's like a bad bitch?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what if she's finer than me and I'm just slumpy?
Then, you know, a lot of people are slumpy. A lot of people like that do threesomes, though. They, The man allows a woman to pick who the person is.
That's true. But then, of course, I'm going to get a baddie, you know, but I'm going to be like, but then she better than me. Fuck.
I'm going to be like, this what you want? Here.
I don't know.
It's not for me, sis, but get it how you live.
But, you know, but I'm also like, I don't want to say never. Never, you know, never say never. What if there is a moment where it just like, just seems like a good idea, you know what I mean? Like, there, I might be. I mean, let's be real. I'm horny all the time. So what if this
24/7,
24/7,
365?
Yes.
Even when the moon is retrograding, she over here horny. Everybody else just in a drought.
But for real, like, there might be a situation if it's like, you know, a man and a woman. I don't know. You know what I mean? The three of us just like feeling it. Fun fact, Sixella Fierce tried to have a threesome with me a couple times.
Girl, you put her business
out. I've said it before with her on the show.
Six.
I said it before. She gets mad at me because I always try to bring it up on the pod. She was straight up like, yo, I'd be down to fuck you. It's like,
not the.
Yo, I'll be down.
Yo, she probably did not even do that.
Yo, my girl, I'ma listen. Yo, if you down, girl, hit my line.
I doubt she even did that. I think I'm definitely over exaggerating, but she, you know, she expressed that if I was down, like, she'd do it. So, but I was like, nah. It was like some 21-year-old dude in the back of a car. I was like, look,
y'all about to have sex in the back of a car, all three, all three, y'all.
Now you was trying to get at me, and I was like, you know, I was feeling it for a second. You know, I was like, ah, you're cute. And then
Six was like, me too.
And then I was like, and he told me he was 21, and at that time I think I was like 26. I was like,
oh God, I'm about to.
No, I was like, you're 21, I can't do it. And but then Six was like, look. She was down, and then she tried to get me to join. I was like, that's not for me. Oh my gosh, she's probably so pissed that I brought this up. She's probably like, here she goes again, talking about this threesome story.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times, yo.
Okay, one last question. Which one should I do?
I'm having fun.
I know. What advice would you give your 23-year-old self? By the way, love you.
I love how she didn't take any of those compliments.
Whatever.
Yeah, we down for BGT over here. You go first.
I would tell myself that everything will be okay. I know that sounds so...
Dang, that's what I was going to say.
This is a basic-ass advice, let's be real. It's so fucking basic.
Let me think of some deep-ish to say to y'all.
But no, but it's true. Like, I feel like at 23, I felt like I needed to have it all figured out. Like, at that... 23 was honestly a really hard age for me. I was still living home with my mom. She was really, like, forcing me to move out, but I couldn't find a job. I just graduated. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like you're fresh out of college. You're like, what do I do with this degree?
Yeah.
You know, where should I go?
I'm going to end up here.
Right. And you're just like,
what do you mean it's over?
Exactly. And it's like, you have all this debt, you know, and you're just stressed because you're just like, I need to find a job. Like, and then you see social media and you see all these people getting their life together and you're just like, wow, I'm a fucking loser. Like, you think that, you know, I felt like a fucking loser, but really it's like you're 23.
Right.
You know, and it's okay to not have it all figured out. So I think that I would just tell myself, like, it's okay, like, just trust the process. Don't let it get to you. Love yourself, because I definitely just felt like nothing was going my way. So I didn't love myself. I didn't feel like I deserved anything great. So I was sad. Yeah. Honestly, I was sad at 23.
Same. Yeah. I was too. What would I don't trust these niggas. Period.
That too.
Like, for real, that's what I would. But I really would have said, put yourself first. I think I found myself in a lot of I found myself lost because I was constantly, I wasn't putting myself first in a lot of things. I was putting expectations on me first by my parents, by, you know, what I think I should be, comparing myself to others. So, like, just setting your own pace would have been a big thing. Like, just run your race. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just look forward onto your, like, because everything else is just a distraction. You know, just looking beside you is just, and you know when you're like running track, and if you, they always say always look forward and never look back, because if you look back it just slows you down. And I think I spent a lot of my early 20s just looking back, looking to the side, just distracting myself. And then, you know, just trying to fulfill my emptiness with all these exterior things that I thought would kind of, you know,
fill like this void. Like, really expensive clothes. Yeah. Trying to and look like, a certain way.
Yo, when I got my first credit card, which was a $500 limit, I blew that joint in 2 days. Why? 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 It manifested in my brokenness, manifested in so many ways. One, like, my room was always messy, no matter what I did. Mm-hmm. It was always, and they always say like your room is always a reflection of how you feel inside. Mm-hmm. I just was always like spending money that I didn't have, being with men that I shouldn't be with, just
all these very like
busting my puss
disposable things. We focus on very disposable things.
Very just trying to fill like this void, having sex with people just to feel something, doing anything to feel something, just living in numbness. And I think, you know, everything will be okay. That's what, like what you said.
I know.
So if you feel like that, it'll be okay.
I feel like, you know, they say it's like, oh, there's always that inner child that you're trying to heal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like there is that inner child, but there is that inner, like, early 20-year-old self that I feel like I'm still trying to heal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, early 20s, like, people don't talk about this. Like, I think that, like, they have this expectation in your early 20s, like, you're supposed to have it together. But people don't talk about, like, yo, like, those, like...
Quarter life crisis is real.
It's fucking real.
So real.
Like, it's crazy. Like, you just are... lost.
And it starts at 20, and this is what I feel like I should write a book about, like the ages from 22 to 26. I think those years are just trash, like, and it's not
exactly they are
trash, but then it's to build you, but then of course in the moment you're not thinking of that. 27, it starts to get better. 28, baby, you soaring.
Right.
30, girl. And even if you haven't got it together by 30, so what? You
right,
know?
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you want to plug yourself? Any last words?
I love you guys. I love this pod. You can find me on Instagram, j.clark, C-L-A-R-K-E _. Look me up. Follow me. Slide in my DMs or whatever.
Whatever. And then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brokotherapy.com. All that shit is there, like the merch. The merch is there. Go get your shirts, your hoodies, your sweatpants. And yeah, I love you guys. Bye.
Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.